This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
Another round of some severe weather last night roared through the area, and we got one more round possible today, and then we should get a little break. But it has been a challenging week, to say the least. And, Paul, the numbers you just updated us on of people without power, again, a week later, hopefully they'll get to those. And at least Duquesne Light says by, 11 o'clock tonight. That's the game plan anyway.
Well, I mean, everybody, but they expect most people will be on before that.
At some point today, and I like the idea of this group. If you call 211, they'll help, you know, clean up. There's still a lot of cleanup to do. And there have been, you know, almost a domino effect of issues since the storms on Tuesday. And the cleanup will continue. Meanwhile, mentioned this real ID deadline tomorrow. Later this morning, one of our team members, Andy Lindberg, who's our director of digital works, among other things, is headed to the airport. So the TSA reconfiguration at Pittsburgh International caused some long lines yesterday morning. And now we'll see how that goes this morning. And then tomorrow, I talked to a couple of people who are flying in the next few days. And it was amazing to me. They're like, what are you talking about? I said, just a heads up, get to the airport earlier. Why? They had no idea. And from a practical standpoint, if you have your real ID or passport, okay, remember to take your passport to the airport, flying domestically. But right. The other thing is, they didn't know, like, well, I have my real ID. I said, okay, I get that. But guess what? There are going to be people that go there that don't. And right. It's going to be some type of delay. It has to be.
And TSA switched up operations during the peak hours at the checkpoints, between 4 and 7 a.m. And so, for example, here's a lady who was trying to get from point A to point B yesterday and asked for some help finding the right line to get into. And listen to this.
I spoke with probably four different employees who were all really polite, but seemed to be a little confused as well.
When she says employees, does she mean TSA employees?
Yeah, they've got people stationed around at, you know, transit points where they can help people out. But I think there was a fair amount of confusion. Now, I did read the TSA spokesperson was saying that the long lines people were reporting, they had one line, Larry, apparently, that went all the way back through that covered walkway
right.
All the way back to the escalators.
That's far.
The people movers, right? But they said that the line was moving quickly. The wait was about 15 to 20 minutes, depending on which line you were in. So they were moving people through it at a good clip, but she said the optics made it look worse than it actually was. I don't know. What I do know is that they changed things, and there was confusion. And this is the time of the year when travel volume increases dramatically. And so we're going to have these lines. And boy, that all it can just tick, 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 get that new terminal open, right?
Oh, my gosh. And, yeah, there is supposed to be 12 new separate lines in the new airport, which is, yeah, tick, tick, tick. It's only a few months away. It's supposed to open the end of summer, early fall.
To tell you, Larry, to make a point about this, about infrastructure, airports especially, you know, getting a new one here in Pittsburgh, what a great idea it is, and it's going to be a whole lot better experience for travelers. But let's talk a moment about what's going on at Newark Liberty Airport out in New Jersey. Now, the network coverage is talking about, you know, air traffic controllers taking time off, you know, trauma leave for 45 days because of an incident where they couldn't contact any of the planes or see their radar for, you know, for a period, short period of time.
90 seconds.
Yeah, which is forever in that business. And I can imagine how difficult it was. But they're already stretched thin there. The focus has been a lot on that. But the truth is, and I read this morning, and this is a really good point, Newark Airport was built back in the day, long before they ever suspected that it was going to be a hub for United Airlines, and before that, Continental. And there's just simply too much traffic. There are too many flights. United has cut back now 35 departures a day. One runway is shut down right now at Newark. I guess they're doing some work on that. The runways weren't built for the big jets back, again, when they built the airport the first time around. So you have, and this is just one example, of an airport that's bursting at the seams. It can barely handle all the traffic it has. And the answer to the problems at Newark are fewer flights and bigger planes. And that's the real issue that's kind of obscured in the back. So how fortunate are we to have, you know, all the runways that we can use with no waiting? Once you leave the gate, you go straight to a runway. You don't sit around waiting unless, you know, you're getting de-iced, right?
Right. I've been in line like 21 planes deep.
Yeah.
If you're in Philadelphia,
oh, wow.
JFK,
yep.
Newark. Yeah, they're having major issues there.
If you can fly anywhere, you know, and you have your choices, now it's really wise to pick the hubs that can handle the action.
So we'll see what happens. We're going to check in and follow this story. Even if you don't fly, just from a curiosity standpoint, it'll be interesting to see how it unravels.
What a test of human endurance it is to fly these days, right?
I mean,
you really find out what kind of condition you're in internally by the time you get to the airport. If you're relaxed and you can, you know, wait patiently through all the things that you have to go through, you're in good shape. But I can understand why people get testy and, you know, a little bit angry.
Speaking of which, I want to talk to you in the next few minutes about this incident that happened at a PNC Park.
Oh,
the video's going viral.
Did you see that?
Apparently, two guys allegedly were harassing a woman and an employee at PNC Park told them to leave. And he got spat on, and then he started swinging.
I couldn't believe what I saw.
Yeah.
And then the employee for PNC Park, you know, went after them. And
yeah,
I
well,
thought,
that's
oh,
what I mean.
No,
and he got suspended.
An escalation, yeah.
Should he have? We'll talk about that next. Driving home last night from Soldiers and Sailors Memorial Hall, I was listening to the Bucco game. Pirates are up 3-2, right? It's going into like the sixth inning, and I got a phone call from a friend. And it was only a couple of minutes. When I went back to the game, they were losing 6-3.
How do you pronounce this young man's name that was pitching? Is it Shugart or Shugart?
Shugart.
Okay, Shugart. Thank you.
I believe. But anyway.
I'm unfamiliar with it. But he had a one-run lead when he started. And
right.
When
and
he left, they were behind by three.
Six straight hits, and then they're down by three runs in a flash. I'm like, what happened? Anyway, they lost. Again,
I see that someone posted, one of our colleagues here posted on X that the Pirates are on track right now to lose 108 games. It could be a disaster of a year.
Well, it certainly hasn't been good. And Paul Skenes is pitching tonight, and he's 3-3. So you have one of the best pitchers in baseball, and you can't win for him because you can't hit.
He's got over 40 strikeouts already.
When they get home, they're coming back after this short St. Louis road trip. I'm going over there, and I'm going to show them.
Well, I know I have tickets for the Sunday game when Atlanta's in. What's the weather going to be like on Sunday anyway?
Sunday looks decent. Saturday looks spectacular, 72 and sunny.
Yeah.
I have tickets for Saturday. But I saw this PNC Park employee video that's gone viral.
Wow.
So Sunday, a Pirates, he works for PNC Park. Here's allegedly what happened. There were two guys harassing a female concession stand employee.
Ah, okay. And now this is starting to make some sense.
This game day employee intervened. He diverted the two men away from the concession stand. He told them to leave, apparently. And in the video, you see one of the guys spit on him. And he starts, now the employee clearly starts swinging at the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Then takes off his belt after there were two guys. And the altercation caught on video. And the Pirates sent a statement out. We are aware of the unfortunate incident that occurred following the conclusion of yesterday's game, which would have been Sunday, between a PNC Park game day employee and a guest. The employee's behavior was entirely unacceptable, and he was immediately suspended. The incident is currently under further investigation. My question is, should he have been suspended?
Well, let me add this part in here from the story on Channel 2's website. So the exchange becomes heated over this alleged harassment of the concession stand worker, right? And the game day employee is seen in a video trying to walk away several times before the fan follows and taunts him until punches are thrown.
And
thank you, Paul.
Bystanders and other employers tried to break up the fight. Within moments, the fan is seen spitting on the game day employee. So that was the maraschino cherry on that deal.
And this kind of circles back to slightly to mental health. It's like if you're harassing a woman, one, kudos to the employee for standing up for his coworker, you know, because that's scary. You're at work, you're being harassed. Two, you're spitting. Honestly, I commend the employee for standing up and kind of saying, hey, that's not the standard here at PNC Park.
You know what I'm surprised at? I'm surprised some other bystanders didn't intervene and kick butt.
Right.
Well, if you see the guys, the two guys that they were talking about, looks like they have these giant backpacks on. It doesn't look like they're at a baseball game. Looks like they're at a scouting event where they've got backpacks on. And
just kind of wandered in.
And if they were harassing an employee, I know you can't support violence, but
course,
you can
yeah.
certainly understand the guy snapping on him.
Yeah.
Right.
After all that and then getting spit on.
And I think once the story came out, it really looked terrible on PNC Shore because that was one of their workers. And, you know, maybe the employee could have watered it down a smidge, but I really believe the way people are behaving now, especially in the city, it can get out of hand quickly.
How do you think it would go over if the Pirates came back, instead of what they did here, if the Pirates came back and said, we stand behind our employee 100%.
Right.
We will not tolerate verbal abuse, physical abuse of any kind, harassment. And if you're asked by one of our employees to leave or to move away from an area and you don't do it,
we're
behind these people 100%. You know, show respect or you can't come in the ballpark anymore.
Well, a lot of fans weighed in and they're like, hey, those two who harassed the employee should be the one prosecuted and not allowed back to a Pirates game.
That's exactly what I think.
They're just trying to do their job.
Yeah.
If you're asked to leave by a Pirates employee, you should leave. And not be,
Who covered this story for Channel 2 yesterday was your friend Barry Pintar.
And I think it's the customer service thing where they're like, the customer's always right.
Do
and
me
it's
a favor.
Like,
let's get Barry.
Yeah, I would love to hear what Barry's.
Okay,
I would love
him.
To hear what he's got on this.
We'll get him. Also coming up, it happened really fast. A Pennsylvania House committee passed a bill to legalize recreational marijuana. And that's where the story begins, right after the news at 6:30. There's some controversy involved in it, and it looks like a long road till it would become a reality. However, really interesting story about the way it happened. Larry Richard with a special guest, Gina Venzel, who I've known for many years, co-founder of Plant Media Project, and also sits on the board of the SSDP. Gina, good morning.
Good morning, Larry.
What is the SSDP for those that don't know?
That's the Students for Sensible Drug Policy. We actually just got back from D.C. where we were fighting for cannabis legalization on the federal level.
And that said, as you know, Monday, the Pennsylvania House Committee approved a 173-page bill to legalize recreational cannabis use. There's some controversy involved in how this happened. I'm not asking you to reflect on that. We're going to talk to Dan Frankel here in a few minutes. However, this is another step closer, but there's still a ways to go, right?
Well, I am going to reflect on that because, you know, good bills don't need smoke and mirrors, Larry. And this was pretty sneaky. I mean, we need to gain trust with the GOP. We certainly need some sort of bipartisan support to get anything through our Senate. And so because this bill was dropped very quickly and pushed within 24 hours, it's not really creating the support that we need in a bipartisan way to push this. And there's a lot of things that we don't really want in this bill. I was really hoping, you know, coming back from D.C. all fired up about cannabis policy reform, I was hoping to come home and get this great news. But really taking a look at the bill and diving into it, it's really not what we hoped for. I mean, the fact that this is a state store-run model, I mean, what does the PLCB know about cannabis?
I don't know. Where else?
I don't know either. I mean, I see cannabis as a plant medicine. So it's hard for me to consider using a medicine through a state store model run by our liquor control board. We have so many people in this community that truly understand the nuances of building businesses within these this highly regulated market. And it just feels that this bill really misses the mark. It doesn't even have DUI protections. And we know that cannabis stays in people's systems long after they consume. So if someone were to get pulled over, even after this bill is legalized, they could potentially get a DUI. And this just does not protect Pennsylvanians in the way that we had hoped.
So that said, it seems like a step back then, you know, in a couple of different ways from what you had hoped would happen. And we're still apparently a long way from this actually being legalized.
I think so. I mean, there's a Representative Emily Kincaid, along with who's a Democrat, and Representative Abby Major, a Republican, had this bipartisan memo that they put out. And I really, in my heart, feel that what's going to happen, because this bill was rushed, because, you know, both Democrats and Republicans did not have time to read through all the nuances in this bill to understand it's not really what we want. I think even if the House, you know, votes it in, it's going to die in the Senate. And then what does that mean? Well, maybe Representative Kincaid's memo, which will be bipartisan when it becomes a bill, that actually has independent regulation. So it would be run by its own board. It would not be run by the PLCB. This is the bill that we want. This is the bill that protects Pennsylvanians, although it's just a memo yet. So what I think may happen is if this bill dies in the Senate, because we have lost any trust with the GOP, you know, presenting this bill so quickly in the way that it was. If it dies, then there's the potential that the conversation of cannabis is still moving forward, and this bipartisan bill could potentially gain the trust necessary by Republicans in our state to feel that there's an approach to legalization that benefits all Pennsylvanians.
How many states now have recreational cannabis?
There are 24 other states that have already legalized adult use cannabis, and that's all around us in Pennsylvania except West Virginia. So we are surrounded by states where folks are, you know, driving across state lines, breaking federal law to do so just to be able to purchase cannabis in a more affordable way. And so we know that our state has to do something. And believe me, we've been talking on this show for how many years about how much I truly want our state to get on the right side of history and to legalize cannabis. But we have to think about the long term and how these decisions now will affect how this program runs and will affect Pennsylvanians for years to come. So we don't need to rush into this process. We need to find the right bill that protects all people. And I do not believe that this bill that's being rushed through is the bill for us.
All right, we're going to ask Representative Dan Frankel about that coming up here in just a couple of minutes.
I'll be tuning in, Larry. I can't wait to hear because, you know, the whole part of this was that, you know, the last six testimonies were before new members and patients and community members were not allowed to participate in this one. And so there were a lot of prominent black and brown cannabis groups in Harrisburg yesterday when this bill was introduced, and they did not know about it. It was happenstance that they were even able to hear that this was happening and then were able to attend to tune in. This was not open to the community as well as it was a surprise to members of the House. And we don't need this kind of sneaky tactics when we're talking about the ways in which cannabis can support people's health and how this plant can help rejuvenize our communities and revitalize our economy. We don't want to do this in a sneaky, quick way. We want to do it together and united and something that PA can be proud of.
On the federal level, any movement to having it declassified as a Schedule I and eventually legalized?
Well, we hope so. I mean, the Students for Sensible Drug Policy was a part of the largest bipartisan cannabis coalition in history, and we went to the Hill this past week. We had every single member of the House of Representatives and Senate with our folders that were a unified connection of saying three things. We want to deschedule cannabis, we want to release all nonviolent cannabis prisoners, and we want to expunge all records. There's 11 different bills that are that we presented, and so there's a lot of opportunity for us to do something at the federal level. But we can protect ourselves here in PA by creating a bill that would really support what we need in our home state. And, you know, I'm just not sure how this bill is going to work. I mean, when you think about Pennsylvania state storm model, it really raises some legal questions regarding federal law. Because if cannabis, as it remains, is a classified Schedule I substance, it's really exposing our state to some potential legal risks.
Gina Wenzel, co-founder of Plant Media. I will follow up. Well, stay tuned. You're going to hear what Representative Frankel has to say about it.
I will be staying tuned.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Larry.
This is the Big K Morning Show, and we welcome Democratic Representative of the House, 23rd District, Dan Frankel. Dan, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
Boy, you're in a firestorm this morning. You know that.
Oh. You know, what the heck?
Well, you've been at this a long time. This whole conversation about recreational marijuana or adult use cannabis, however you want to describe it, has been passed along and along. And then Sunday, a 173-page bill is sent out, and out of committee, it passes. Now the Republicans are going, hey, you're trying to pull a fast one, Dan. What's going on?
Well, you know, the fact of the matter is this has been the most thorough, thought-out, and transparent process bringing this bill to fruition. We've had six comprehensive hearings with every potential imaginable stakeholder, from people in the industry, from consumers, from folks in the public health sector, from folks in the small business sector, and the criminal justice piece. So and that was done in a bipartisan way. So all the information's been out there for quite some time. We wanted to bring a bill up as soon as we could to get this engaged in, as we discuss the budget, because there's significant revenue potentially in an adult use bill. So it has been a very transparent process. My Republican colleagues informed a great deal of what we ended up proposing here, particularly focused on the public health issues. And we're very proud of the product, and hope we get it moved out of the House this week.
Well, I know the governor's in his budget proposal is counting on, you know, $500 million projected revenue from the legalization process. That said, critics are saying, why are you doing it through the PCLB for sales and not separate like all the other states, now 24, that have it legalized?
Right. Well, virtually every one of those states have done it badly, and I think you would talk to many of those legislators there and regret what they've done. The alternative is a model that has been promoted by the big cannabis industry, a model that does not promote public health and does not promote small businesses. So what we have seen in other states. And what we saw in the medical marijuana marketplace here was the vertical integration of the industry, and with our intent had been to make sure that small business and entrepreneurs had opportunities. So what you saw was people who bought licenses in the medical marijuana marketplace in Pennsylvania for processing and growing could not get their products on the shelves of these big multi-state operators. And we had to make some adjustments there. So we don't want to create a flight path to make big marijuana into big tobacco. We want opportunities for Pennsylvania small businesses, for farmers, and we want to promote public health. So our bill includes caps on THC limits, packaging restrictions, so it's not attractive to children. If you have edibles, that they aren't going to be appealing to children as well. Those are not things that are supported by the large multi-state operators. And so I think we've got a pretty conservative approach to doing adult use that, as I said, promotes public health, promotes criminal justice, and promotes small businesses and revenue for the state. It checks every single box. And I think the model is really unique in the United States. And it moves the conversation forward. If we move this out of the House over to the Senate, my expectation is we'll have a discussion. I hope the Senate Republican leaders engage in this discussion. And in my 26 years, I know that compromises need to be made. And I don't have any real expectation that we get the same exact bill back. But at least we're starting the conversation. We're going to send this over to the Senate. Engage with us. And let's try and address these issues.
Dan Frankel, I appreciate your willingness to discuss. We'll see where it goes. Thanks for the time this morning.
No, my pleasure. Bye-bye.
Representing the 23rd District, Representative Dan Frankel, and here we go.
The Goldberg, Persky, and White News Desk, a week without power can be an effective teacher.
You need to have a plan and be prepared for the next time that happens. Because I think it's going to be a stormy summer, and is this going to be all summer?
Wow. It's Mary Kay Drummond of Castle Shannon. She had a week with no power, Larry.
Yeah, it's to the point where people are ready to snap. So hopefully they get it done today. They say they will.
A game day employee for the Pirates has been suspended after getting into a fight with a fan at Sunday's game at PNC Park.
Yeah, we're going to talk to KDKTV's Barry Pintar, who covered this story. When you see the video and hear the background, should he have been suspended? And should the other two guys be thrown out? We'll see.
State Representative Valerie Gatos has introduced a bill to send Pennsylvania's surplus money to taxpayers.
I'm all for that.
Who's not, right?
Let's get it done. All right, Paul, we got a lot going on here on the Big K Morning Show. Very spirited conversation about this legalization, too, of cannabis. Larry Richard with anchorman Paul Rasmussen. Yesterday we found out, in the midst of all of the news going on, all of the executive orders, the tariff talk, turned to the movie industry. And that happened late on Sunday night. And the tariff would be a 100% tariff if it's instituted on all foreign films, not just foreign films, films made outside the United States. And joining us is the woman who, for the last 30 years, nobody knows more about the industry here, certainly, than Don Keyser. Don, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. How are you? Hi, Paul.
I know that there are so many layers to trying to keep the fuel here for the movie industry. We've talked about, the tax credits in Pennsylvania, but this is nothing to do with those, or does it, potentially?
Look, the industry, it's the part people forget, right? It's always been a global competition. We might have invented the movie business here in the United States, and we really invented it back in, 1914 here with The Perils of Pauline, and really kicked off our commercial industry in 1968 with Night of the Living Dead. But people have wanted to make these movies all over the world forever. So we've been fighting a global competition to get this work. This all started with NAFTA, the free trade agreement we had, where they put culture under an umbrella and kept it separate from the trade agreements. So it allowed Canada to flourish. and add their incentives, which is really what started decimating our industry back. We all saw it here in Pittsburgh back in 1994. So look, I don't know if the tariffs are going to work. I think you get more flies with honey is what my mother would tell you, and my grandmother probably too. So it'd be far better, I think, to increase the tax credits, especially here in Pennsylvania. But Governor Newsom came out with a plan. They've been working on it with a congressman in D.C., Adam Schiff, to do a federal incentive, to come up with some way to compete with these other countries who are basically throwing money at this industry because of the amount of money and jobs they bring and they create when they're in your town, your state, your country, wherever. Everyone understands how lucrative this type of industry is, and we just need to be more welcoming to it. So will this work? Who knows? But it did cause quite a conversation yesterday, which was kind of fun to see that everyone's paying attention to it.
So, Don, really, what you're saying is that Pittsburgh's film industry is on a worldwide stage competing with places like Montreal, Canada, or Paris, France, or wherever it may be.
Absolutely. Let's look at the TV series Watson, right? They're filming in Vancouver. It's set in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. It was written by a Pittsburgher, by Craig Sweeney. He wanted to come home. He wanted to film that here. We couldn't compete. It was a $16 million difference between filming in Vancouver and filming in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So we were grateful for the 4 days they came and filmed. We'll hope to get a little bit more for season two. But we couldn't compete with $16 million because when you combine the incentives in Canada with the exchange rate, which I don't believe the tariffs will do anything for, the incentives don't really touch the exchange rates either. But there's a prime example, and that just happened to us last year. Anymore, we just lost another show that was looking at us. It was a TV series. They went to Canada as well. So we've been competing with Canada for a long time. My friends in Hawaii, they've been losing all their work to Australia and New Zealand right now because Australia and New Zealand increased their incentives. So it's all about, you know, what it looks like is all secondary to what the incentives are to draw that industry to your place. And here in Southwestern PA, it's been working. You know, we bring in reliably over $150 million every year. There's over 5,000 people that live in this region in the 10-county area that make their living in this industry. So it's working. It works to have the incentives. We just, I think if we can figure out a way to all work together, if, you know, if this is the way, if Trump's right and this brings it all back, great. But we really just want those family-sustaining jobs. We want everyone working, and we want that economic impact pouring into our economy. We need it.
And Don, we're with Don Keyser, heads the Pittsburgh Film Office. Don, that said, I have talked to privately so many elected officials over the years, and now the governor had said at one point he wants to support this, but why does it never get real traction?
That's the million-dollar question, Larry, or the $100 million question, however you want to look at it. We've worked really hard over the 18 years of the existence of the film tax credit in Southwestern PA. We have bipartisan support on this issue. People see the real jobs. There's a lot of other priorities that seem to keep taking precedent. The governor supports this industry. I believe he would like to see something change, but we haven't figured out the magic formula to get us there. We're losing in our, not, we're not only losing on a global competition, we're losing on the domestic competition. New York is going to go to a $750 million tax credit. They've increased the incentive to the point, I think it's about 40%. They'll get back on tax credits. New Jersey has incentivized them to build permanent infrastructure. So instead of Netflix choosing Southwestern Pennsylvania for their regional center, they went to New Jersey and bought an Army base. So we're not keeping current and competitive with the states that surround us. And I mean, look, West Virginia has an uncapped tax credit. It's crazy how fast everyone clicked into, oh, look, this is real jobs and real work. We were here first. Pennsylvania's been here for a very long time, 1914 here, 1913 in Philly. We have the crew. We have the locations. We have the ability to make this work in Pennsylvania. We need a little help on the state level. And if President Trump's going to do this on the federal level and help us get this jobs back here, we're all for it. It's great.
You know, Don, it makes me wonder, what do we need to be looking for? Since the tariffs' intention is to get production to come back to the U.S., is there anything we can look at, like the fruit that might fall first, if any?
Look, there's an endless need for content, right? People, like all the stuff they're retrenching, like they're going to make Little House on the Prairie again. I can't imagine some of the stuff they're doing, but there's a need for the work. They're all going to start looking domestically, right? So they make good with this administration, so they have a reason to be in this country. If Pennsylvania is not ready to compete, they're going to go right by us and go to the other states. So we want to make sure Pennsylvania is ready. But if you just start looking at your TV, they're running out of things for you to watch. They're running out of reasons to drive you to the movies, right? So something's got to give here. You know, I read something yesterday where, you know, they're choosing global because of labor rules and because of cost. And, you know, Pennsylvania is always willing to compete there. And we've been winning those competitions, but it's just a matter of having the incentives. But right now, look, we have 4 shows on the ground in southwestern Pennsylvania. We're one of the busiest places in the country in terms of film production. So we're doing okay at the moment, but we'd like it to be sustainable. We'd like it to be continuing. We'd like to see that work continue to come in here on a regular basis so that these truly are the family-sustaining jobs they're supposed to be. So I don't know what the magic, what to look for, but you'll start seeing more of the Haddad trucks running around town. And right now, there's several. So, you know, things are going to start kicking up again.
Well, and this on the precipice of the big film, the film festival in France that's coming up here. And it'll be one of the talk, I'm sure, of the festival about the tariffs in the industry. So, Dawn, appreciate the time this morning. We'll see where it goes. Thank you.
Yeah, we'll see where it goes. Look, this may be the answer, but if nothing else, it is the ignited a conversation that everyone went, wait, what's going on? And now there might be some real positive movement for it. And we're very hopeful, and we want Pennsylvania to be the place they choose, and we really want them in southwestern PA.
Dawn Keyser, executive director of the Pittsburgh Film Office.
You know, I can think of one person who could champion our cause as a state representative to draw production to Pennsylvania, and his name is Governor Josh Shapiro. He has a way about words.
He has, and he's expressed support. But now they got to see action. Oh, pun intended. This time on the Big K Morning Show, we welcome another medical professional from Independence Health System Expert Care here. And today we welcome Dr. Kathleen Adams, a neurologist in the Westmoreland area. May is Stroke Awareness Month, and Independence Health System urges you to learn the signs and what you can do. And you can also see Dr. Adams on our live stream video at kdkradio.com, presented by Metropolitan Window Company. Dr. Adams, good morning.
Good morning.
This may sound like a remedial question, but that's my job. What does a neurologist do?
Oh, I always tell people I'm the brain doctor. So we take care of things that involve the brain, the spinal cord, peripheral nerves, a little bit of everything.
And how does that tie in then with stroke and stroke awareness?
So stroke is a disorder of the brain. So when we talk about stroke, it's kind of like a heart attack of the brain. So you can have a blockage of a blood vessel and it causes damage to tissue of the brain. You can also have a blood vessel that ruptures and can cause a bleeding type of stroke called a hemorrhagic stroke. So stroke ties in because it affects your brain.
And there's an acronym I want you to talk about called BFAST, which is Balance Eyesight, Face, Arm, Speech, and Time. I assume this is something that you need recognized in the moment that this is happening, and the faster you get help, the better.
That's correct. So I like the acronym BFAST because it not only tells you what you're looking for stroke symptoms, but it also tells you what you need to do. You need to be fast, because the sooner you get to the hospital, the more treatment options we have, and the better we can treat you and the better recovery you'll have from your stroke. So when we talk about BFAST, B is for balance. So I always tell people, you get up and normally you can walk without any trouble. So if you're leaning to one side, or you're running into walls, or you're just feet are not going where you want to go, that's something that you need to be concerned about. For eyesight, we talk about loss of vision. So it could be, I'm not seeing out of the right side of my vision, I'm not seeing out of the left side of my vision, or I lost vision in one eye completely. And then for face, you always talk about the droopy face. So, you know, one side of my face when I smile goes up and the other one doesn't, that's something to be concerned about. Definitely a concern for possible stroke there. Arm, when we talk about that, we have the patients raise their arms up and stick them out in front of them. If they can't get one arm up or the one arm drops down as you wait for a few seconds, that's a concern because they're weaker on that side than the other side. Speech, there's sort of a couple of things that we look at for speech. One is that classic garbled speech. I just can't understand them. They're saying normal words, but they're just really slurred. I can't understand them. The other is they're not getting the correct words out, or they're not understanding the words that you're saying to them. So those are things you want to look for. And then T for BFAST is time, because time is of the essence. You lose millions of brain cells every minute that you're having a stroke. And so the sooner you get in, the sooner we can treat you and help you recover from this better. We have acute treatments that we can use if you're in the hospital within a certain amount of time.
And that said, a few years ago, we were in a meeting, just a casual meeting in the evening, and one of our participants went home and his wife was concerned. She thought maybe he had too much to drink, which he didn't. He had literally one beer, but he was slurring. Some of all of what you just said was happening and fortunately got help right away. What's the difference I hear of mini strokes? What is a mini stroke?
So a lot of people use the term mini strokes for what we call a TIA, or a transient ischemic attack. Okay. The definition of a TIA is that you have stroke-like symptoms and they recover within 24 hours and it doesn't leave a mark on your brain. So if I do an MRI, there's no stroke that I'm seeing on that, but you definitely had stroke symptoms that recovered very quickly. And basically your brain cleared that quick enough to where it didn't leave a mark on your brain. We treat it the exact same way. So antiplatelet medicines like aspirin or Plavix, treating your cholesterol, treating, you know, diabetes, or if your blood sugar is off, all those things we treat the same way for a mini stroke as a stroke.
And as far as treatment for stroke, we know that it can be very debilitating for some, but others make a remarkable recovery.
Yes. And I always say you can't count people out. I've seen some really severe strokes that look very bad coming into the hospital, and you see them a year down the road and they look fantastic, almost back to themselves. So patients can really make dramatic recovery if you give them the time to do it.
Appreciate the work and your team do every day. Doc, thank you.
Yep, thank you.
May is Stroke Awareness Month, and Dr. Kathleen Adams, a neurologist with Independence Health System, expert care here. As the Big K Morning Show, Larry Richard, and last half hour, we just talked to the executive director of the Pittsburgh Film Office, Don Keyser, get her reaction to the tariffs that late Sunday, President Trump said, 100% tariff, considering putting on movie projects outside of the U.S. And tariffs have been a conversation now for a long time. Curious, Small Business Association, and what about tariffs impact on Main Street? And joining us is Walter Rowan, who is a chief executive officer and the owner of the Susquehanna Glass Company. Can I call you Walt?
Please do. How are you, Larry?
I'm good, Walt. So tell us about your business. How many people do you employ, and how long have you been in business?
Sure. It's a family-owned business. It was started by my grandfather and his older brother in, believe it or not, 1910. That makes us 115 years old. We are located in Columbia, Pennsylvania, and we are essentially a glass decorating company. So what we do is we buy glassware from all over the world, but as often domestic glass as possible, wine glasses, barware, things like that. And we sell to retail stores. We sell to restaurants, wineries, and so forth. We have had as many as over 100 people in the company. Right now, we're down on an annual basis of about 35 people full-time year-round. And then we have normally a very busy holiday fourth quarter season, and we bring in seasonal help of 20 to 30 additional people. So it's a very, you know, it's a long-term business. It's been around for many, many years.
And I don't have to tell you that small business is the backbone of the economy in this country. So just curious how all of this tariff talk, inflation, retraction, expansion affects you as a business owner.
Well, it does dramatically for several reasons. First of all, as I said, we are decorating glassware, so we're buying product from a lot of domestic sources, but also from international sources, from import companies. We decorate some ceramic coffee mugs, and all of those coffee mugs come from sourcing in China. So when we buy a product, let's say it costs us $3 to buy a coffee mug. We put a $2 decoration on it. We add a dollar, and so we're selling it for $7, $8. It retails for $15. If that coffee mug has 140% tariff, now instead of, that's going to retail instead of $15 for $25. It will pass on to the consumer. Additionally, as a small business, more than likely, I'm going to sell less at $25 than I do at $15. That's where the inflation and also the recessionary characteristics of this tariff program come into play. Nobody knows what's going to happen as prices increase, and they will increase as tariffs come into play. So it's the uncertainty that is really, really difficult for business.
It's the uncertainty that's, difficult for everybody to navigate, because putting even family home budgets together, hard to do that when you're really unsure about the ebbs and flows, and these are directly affecting everybody. That said, when you talk to other friends who are small business owners, I'm assuming you get basically the same sense of what's going on right now.
Yes, the tariff situation filters across every aspect of our economy, and everybody in business is in a wait and see attitude that is very difficult for business owners to plan, to look ahead. As I said, I bring in temporary people at Christmas time based upon how much business I have had in the past couple of 3 or 4 years. We do a big Christmas ornament business that comes from ornaments in China. My source doesn't know how to order right now, so they're not placing orders. So I have no idea how many people to plan to bring into the company at Christmas time. It is just frightening.
Well, good luck. Wanted to get a sense of what's going on. We'll see. Maybe there'll be a deal with China. In the meantime, appreciate your time today, Walt. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Larry, for the time. Thank you.
You got it. Walt Rowan, who is the CEO and president of Susquehanna Glass Company here in Pennsylvania. And you might want to check out his stuff. Give him a lift.
Goldberg, Persky, and White News Desk. A week without power can be an effective teacher.
You need to have a plan and be prepared for the next time that happens. Because I think it's going to be a stormy summer, and is this going to be all summer?
Yeah, a week with no power for that woman in Castle Shannon.
I can only imagine. I was out just 18 hours and was ready to snap. Now people, my sister just got it back 2 nights ago at 6. Other people I know still don't have power.
A game day employee for the Pittsburgh Pirates has been suspended after getting into a fight with a fan that was caught on video Sunday at PNC Park.
I watched the viral video. I hope our listeners do too. And we're going to talk to KDKTV's Barry Pintar after your news at the top of the hour. He's covering the story. My question is, what should you do with the employee, and what should you do with the two fans who were unruly?
Yeah, the police were called to the scene. Are there going to be citations? Good question for Barry. We'll ask. State Representative Valerie Gatos has introduced a bill to send Pennsylvania's surplus money to taxpayers.
So the proposal I have is that return some of that money to the taxpayers so that they can use it for their emergencies, or they can pay down their debt, because that's what it's used. That's what it's intended for.
Yeah. Send it. It's our money. Give it back.
Yes. Thank you.
Send it in. Thank you, Valerie. I hope she gets traction and not shot down in some committee. Richard with anchorman Paul Rasmussen, and we welcome from KDK-TV my friend from many moons ago and a great reporter and anchorman himself, Barry Pintar. Barry, good morning.
Good Good morning, Larry. Good to be with you.
So I saw this viral video from after Sunday's Pirates game at PNC Park, still inside the park, between a employee and it looked like two fans who allegedly were harassing a woman at concession stand. Help us sort through what happened after you reported on it yesterday.
Okay, so yeah, so just a little background to make it all make sense. First, I think it's important to say that the physical altercation was between two people only. I say that at the very top because probably like you, as a lifelong Pittsburgh Pirates and Steelers fan, and someone who loves the opportunity our city gives to go to these games, this was a very isolated incident. To me, it reflects nothing about the safety or not safety of the game. So having said that, number two, also for context, Pittsburgh Pirates have something called game day employees. They are not overall umbrella full-time employees of the game. They're hired for the day, whether they work concessions or they usher various things. So to my understanding from a close source very close to the situation who would know what happened inside and out, could see the security cameras much more than what we saw, two fans or guests, as the Pirates call them, were harassing another game day employee who was a female. A male saw it, got in between it, and tried to defuse it. I spoke yesterday to the senior vice president of communications at the Pirates. That's exactly what they're supposed to do, defuse a situation and walk away. So that's pretty much where our video picks up, if you've seen it on any of my socials or on the air last night. The situation is trying to be defused. We see this game day employee trying to walk away several times, but this fan or guest, only one of them now of the two, continually gets in the face of this game day employee. Now, we ran this video through several processors trying to hear exactly what we were saying, unsuccessfully because it was taken by an onlooker far away, but we could definitely see what was happening, and he continued to get in the face of this game day employee. As much as he tried to walk away, we don't know what he was saying, but he was certainly adding fuel to the fire of the situation. Eventually what happens is this game day employee actually does start taking blows or punches to this fan or guests. That continues on for a while until the guest or fan now starts to spit in the face of this game day employee. We showed it happen once. I saw it happen several times. Now, presumably to keep his distance away from the fan and keep him away, probably the most shocking part of the video that we saw was this game day employee now takes off his belt and starts swinging it at this fan and hitting him. Presumably he doesn't want to get close to someone who's trying to spit on him. Eventually the police were called. Other ushers, employees kind of diffused the situation. Other fans around are screaming, stop, stop. There are kids around. As you mentioned, this is at the end of the game where the Pirates have this great thing where the kids can run the bases. So there were definitely kids around. But Larry, no question, it was an ugly scene. But again, a very isolated incident. As I mentioned, the police were called. I have reached out to the Pittsburgh police to see if any charges were filed against either. Haven't heard back yet, but of course we'll update that on our newscast as we go. But, you know, Larry, I have to say, I also, for whatever reason, have been covering a lot of Pirate stories lately. I covered the running out of the bobbleheads of the Paul Skeens and people lining up on the bridge. And again, from my perspective, the Pirates really stepped up to the plate and said, hey, we're giving one to everyone who scanned a ticket. So they ordered more and passed out the bobbleheads. I covered the Roberto Clemente anniversary. Look, I'll leave how the Pirates are doing on the field to Richie Cassidy and Bob Pompeiani. But in terms of from what I'm seeing, in terms of the Pirates working with the community, it's important to me that I don't put out a message that the games are dangerous, because that is actually not at all what I saw in that videotape. Just a very physical altercation after the game was over between a fan and this game day employee.
You know, Barry, what you're talking about really hits home with me, and I'll tell you why. I buy a few tickets every year, and I go on Sundays in the afternoon, and it's a family atmosphere. And the fact that this happened on a Sunday afternoon is what's really shocking to me.
You know what? It is troubling. And I think that's why this is getting so much viral attention. It's also why I find it important, just as a journalist, to lay out there that this was a very isolated event that did not involve a lot of people. I can also tell you this, I watched all 6 minutes or whatever it was of the video that we had. No other fans were ever involved except Good Samaritans who try to defuse the situation. So, you know, again, I guess this is the third time I'm saying, Larry, we're about the same age. We come from the same area. We grew up here. I just don't want to let people think, oh my gosh, now look, pirate games are getting dangerous. That is not this story at all. What this story is, though, because I did interview the head of the union of ushers. Now, this wasn't a member of the union. He said to me, you know what, Barry, there's what we do. We meet beautiful roses all day, but every now and again, there's a thorn. I interviewed another official for another sport yesterday, and he said, you know, unfortunately, things are changing. Now we're starting at the grassroots where parents are freaking out over ushers at Little League games. And this stuff is just building and building. And eventually he said, you know, we got to get to the point where prosecution is serious enough to these types of things or this type of alleged fan behavior that it just stops. And really, I think you'll agree, it does have to stop. There is absolutely no place for that kind of behavior, especially, as you said, with lots of kids around, but even without the kids. We need to go enjoy our games and have a good time and not have this kind of stuff happening.
Barry, appreciate the time. Thank you. Great job.
All right. My pleasure, brother.
That is Barry Pintar, KDKA-TV. Check out his report later. However, a lot of people weighing in saying, you know what, if I was that employee and that happened to me, I might have done the same thing.
I just checked social media for both public safety and Pittsburgh police, and so far no citations involved in this altercation between the two men.
And I hope this employee, it's just a short suspension. And we'll ask your opinion coming up on the Big K Morning Show. And also next, AAA has a major announcement, and if you're a Steelers fan, you're going to want to hear this. Big announcement on the Big K Morning Show from AAA, and she is extraordinarily talented. You've heard her for many, many years on Saturdays talking travel. Marita Williams, good morning, sunshine.
Good morning, Larry. How are you?
I'm fired up because when you called me just a few days ago and said, Larry, we have an announcement, I said, let's do this. So I don't want to steal your thunder. Let us have it.
All right. So we are so excited. I know they haven't officially named the dates yet for the Steelers to visit Ireland and play a professional football in Croke Park. As you know, we had a package that came out earlier and it sold out immediately, almost in 2 weeks. We were sold out of our inventory, but we were able to get more air. We were able to get another hotel in the city, a 4-star in Dublin, and more Steeler tickets. So we're all set to start selling the package again, and I think it's going to take off as soon as that announcement's made, but you can always call in and book now. As you know, if something crazy happens and they change the date of the game, we will definitely do refunds or change you to the new inventory that we'll have. But right now, we're really excited. We're planning on September 24th to the 29th. And Larry is coming with us. That's the first time I'll get to go with Larry hosting the AAA group. So I'm really excited about that.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Larry.
No, I'm fired up because I think the Pittsburgh Steelers fans, we are going to take over Dublin. They'll never forget us.
Absolutely. It's going to be crazy. Crazy, because Dublin, you know, is a wonderful city. Actually, it'll be my first time in Dublin. I know you've been there before, I believe, on our Ireland trip that you hosted. So we're excited about that. But all things black and gold and green, I guess we could say, for that weekend. So we have a 4-night package. It'll include your round-trip air, your Steelers game ticket, and there's options to upgrade seats all over the stadium, so we have those for you. We also have admission to the Guinness storehouse. We have a hop-on, hop-off that you can do at your leisure. We'll have a tailgate party, and that, pending the time of the game, we'll either have it game day or the night before. We don't know what the time will be, and that'll affect the tailgate party a little bit, but we're still going to have a blast with all of our black and gold and green on that day. So join us. I'm so excited that we were able to get more space because the demand was very high when we first came out with our package. So we have it again. So folks, give us a call at 1-800-848-1238, and we'll get you all set.
Marita, it must be pretty tricky setting up all of this, not knowing for sure that the date's in stone, right?
Oh, Paul, that you're right. That just the logistics. So, yeah, what's that like, Marita?
It is. It is a logistical, I don't want to say nightmare, because it's actually a challenge, and it was fun putting it together and being able to offer it to our AAA members and the public. So it's not just members. You can book with us even if you're not a member. We feel like we have the best package out there for a full 4 nights, a lot of time on your own for exploring 4-star hotels that we're using. And, of course, to highlight it all, Larry's coming along with us, the voice of that Pittsburgh yep. Steeler game in the stadium.
Don't let that get in the way of you coming. Somebody said to me, Marita, hey, Lair, what are you going to do on that trip? My job is to just make announcements periodically and just say, please observe the NFL's all clear bag policy. All right, give us that number one more time, please.
1-800-848-1238.
All right, get on it, because these are going to go fast, and I don't think you're going to get any more hotel rooms or tickets after this, Marita.
Yeah, this is going to be our last blast, so hopefully we'll get it all sold out immediately, then we can start organizing everything.
And I'll look forward to blowing the froth off a pint with you at the Guinness place. We'll go to the Brazen Head, the oldest continuous bar on the island since the 1500s.
See, you're just a wealth of knowledge. You're going to be such an asset on this trip.
I hope so. All right, appreciate you. Congratulations. This is very cool.
Thanks, Larry.
All right, AAA's Marita Williams. That's 800-848-1238.
If you are a major Steelers fan and you're looking for like a keystone moment in the time that you've been rooting for the team, and you get to fold it together with a great vacation in Ireland, wow.
Well, you know, for the package, because it's all-inclusive, and you know, it costs money. It's not cheap, but for Steeler fans who love to do one thing, this is a lifetime experience for a lot of people.
Right, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so. I mean, you know, some people, like last year, they played in Las Vegas. It was a big deal to go and have a weekend in Las Vegas. Well, now it's Dublin. I mean, if you have some Irish heritage especially, wow.
Oh, it's just fun. Fun thing to look forward to. And hopefully, by the way, the official NFL schedule comes out next week on Wednesday.
Oh, so the waiting's just about to be over.
Yeah, okay. So we'll lock it in. But as Marita indicated, they'll make an adjustment. And if you can't make the adjustment, you get a refund. So do it. And coming up, we want to get your reaction to this whole viral video that happened at PNC. Should the employee, he got suspended apparently, should he have got suspended? What should they do with the other guys? 888-391-1020, 888-391-1020. We'll get your calls coming up after the news with Paul. Larry Richard getting ready. Oh, boy, the calls are coming in. People want to react to this viral video from Sunday's Pirate game after the game at PNC Park. And a game day employee engaged first with a couple of fans who were allegedly harassing a female at a concession stand. So, Aaron, let's talk to Joanne Point Breeze. Joanne, good morning.
Good morning. I don't go as many games as I previously had, but I do go to a few games over there. And thank goodness you had a journalist this morning that reported like journalists are supposed to report. Because, you know, I have to send kudos out to him. Because I've heard things there when a journalist called herself reporting somebody saying something about somebody's dead mother and father. I thought, this is ridiculous. Why would you do that? So kudos to the guy you had this morning.
That's Barry Pintar, KDKA-TV.
Right. Well, thank you, Gary, for doing the job that is required to do and not rile people up. Thank you.
All right. Joanne, fired up. Point Breeze. Jack in Munhall. You're on KDK. Good morning.
Mr. Premier here, Larry.
Oh, what's going on?
Well, I blame this all on Nutting.
Come on, man.
Yeah, well, he doesn't put a representative team on the field.
Well, then,
so you really have no reason to go see the game except for the drink. And you have to get a loan to do that.
No, I mean, come on. You can blame Nutting for some things, but not that. I don't think so. 866-391-1020. You can't be serious, Jack. He's gone. Come on, Aaron. They're going to blame Bob Nutting for the kidnapping of the Lindbergh baby next. I mean, it's
pretty extreme.
Bob Nutting is responsible for global warming. I mean,
where do you go from there?
No, in this case, I think the question I want to ask, if people see the video, is we found out about the
employee.
The game day employee was apparently suspended. We don't know for how long.
Right.
I say give him one game and have him back because he's sticking up for his fellow worker.
I truly, truly believe that, you know, one game, if he has to be suspended, great. If, you know, PNC is worried about the reaction of the people. And in this case, I really think that they're thinking about the reaction of the people instead of, like Paul said, kind of thinking, you know what? He's a loyal employee of ours. Maybe we can put out a statement that's going to support our worker and also.
Yeah. And also, yeah, Aaron has to actually answer the phone. She's working in there. So the video goes on. And apparently, the game day employee tries to defuse the situation with these two guys who are allegedly harassing a woman, a female, at the concession stand. Gets them away, and one of the two guys keeps yapping and yapping and yapping, and then it gets physical, and then the guy spits on him. You can see this in the video, and the game day employee pulls his belt off, and that's now. He swung it at him, hit him a few times, but
And that could be where the suspension comes in, because that's a little bit scary looking, maybe to onlookers.
You can't advocate for violence. However, you can understand once the guy got spit on, he snapped.
Yeah.
All right. Ross, you're on the Big K Morning Show. What do you think?
Good morning. I understand the suspension, but I once... for a couple of summers, baseball season, at Three River Stadium, I used to be a runner for a souvenir vendor. So I would go in the stands. I had a little basket, metal basket. But one thing he told me, which was not a suggestion, he said, do not – I used to also, amongst the souvenirs, baseball pirate souvenir paraphernalia I would take with me, were those small black Lugerville Slugger pirate bats.
I remember those.
Yes, I have two of them now as, you know, souvenir from. Anyway, he said, look, depending on crowd size and the weight, you may take 11 or you may take 6. Notice the odd number. Do not sell your last bat because you got money, you're by yourself, and you may need to defend yourself. I understand once you're assaulted from the reporting. I mean, spitting on someone is an assault. So the one game, hopefully that's all he gets. But I support someone defending another employee and defending themselves.
All right, Ross. I got you, man. Thank you. Ron, you're on the Big K Morning Show. What's your take?
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Thank you for taking the call. I've been worked for corporations where I've had employees dealing with the public just like this in malls and other standalone facilities. And we've had had to face many a situation like this, including on myself. I had a person attack me several times over the years. And the policy of your station or the pirates or any business may be to de-escalate, you know, and not engage. And that's fine, and it should be. Nobody needs to get into altercations like that. However, the suspension is probably warranted for a day while they review it, and just to reiterate to the employee to, hey, we have a policy, and we, you know, we have your interest in mind at the same time as the other people. But what escalated this was the spitting. Now, in the era of COVID and other diseases and still AIDS and so forth, spitting and putting blood on somebody purposely is an act of a weapon. You have the right to defend yourself. The policy of the company may be what it is, and they can do what they want, but civilly, he has recourse to go after the person who spit on him, and because that's assault and battery.
All right.
And he also has...
Go ahead.
Yeah.
All right, assault and battery. All right, Ron, thank you. Aaron?
Well, there you have it. I think a lot of people are feeling for the employee.
Yeah.
They're like, you know what? He was assaulted. He was trying to do his job, defended his coworker, and that's it.
And when he got the spit in the face, that's when the belt came off.
He was like, enough is enough. Get out of here.
From the Goldberg, Persky, and White News Desk, a week without power is an effective teacher.
You need to have a plan and be prepared for the next time that happens. Because I think it's going to be a stormy summer, and is this going to be all summer?
That resident in Castle Shannon is a changed mind about preparations after going a week without any power.
My reaction is, what do you do? How do you set yourself up next time to be in a better position if you lose power for an extended period of time?
You got to figure out, I guess, on a short list of the things you really got to have, and then you got to maybe accept that there's going to be some that you don't get. I wouldn't want to do it. And those who have, my hat's off to them. Game day employee, Pittsburgh Pirates, suspended after getting into a fight with a fan at Sunday's game at PNC Park. Wow.
But the video doesn't lie, and it tells a story. So when you hear it like that, you're like, oh, what happened? But when you see what happened, it changes your opinion.
Absolutely. Yep, I agree. State Representative Valerie Gatas has introduced a bill to send Pennsylvania surplus. That money should go to taxpayers, she says.
Yeah. Let us have it.
So the proposal I have is that return some of that money to the taxpayers so that they can use it for their emergencies, or they can pay down their debt, because that's what it's used. That's what it's intended for.
Well, we earned it.
Yeah, Valerie, it's our money. You're right. Give it back. Thank you. Clock is ticking for Real ID, and the deadline starts 12:01 a.m. tomorrow. Larry Richard with anchorman Paul Rasmussen and our director of digital content, mastermind Andy Lindberg, is at Pittsburgh International getting ready for a leisure flight first. Andy, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. How are you?
Good. We want to know, since TSA rearranged the process yesterday, how's it going today?
It was really smooth, Larry. Only less than 10-minute wait for security at the main checkpoint. Actually, security, it's so low that they actually closed the alternative checkpoint this morning after the morning rush. So everybody's going through the main security checkpoint right now. And like I said, it was under 10 minutes to get through and talk to a couple of the TSA people about Real ID starting tomorrow.
Andrew, before we move on to that, what time did you get to the security checkpoint?
Let's see. We probably got there around 8:45 and we're through. I'm walking to my gate right now. So 15, 20 minutes it took me from walking into the airport to get to this point.
And now we hear TSA is saying starting tomorrow, at least for the foreseeable future, they're recommending a three-hour arrival before your scheduled departure. And you said you talked to TSA. What happens if you get to the airport tomorrow and you don't have real ID or a passport?
Well, so I don't know if I'm breaking any news here, Larry, but I talked to one TSA agent that told me tomorrow is not going to be a big deal. And she told me, now this is just one TSA agent that works at the airport and is not a spokesperson, not a representative, but if you don't have a real ID, you will be able to fly tomorrow. So she used the phrase soft launch.
Uh-huh.
So
that is breaking news.
Take that with for what you will. Now, again, I want to emphasize this is not from an official TSA spokesperson, just the woman that was scanning my items before I put them in the X-ray scanner. But she basically said, I don't know why everyone's making this a big deal, because this is going to be a soft launch. So I wouldn't risk it. But if there are people that haven't, that don't have the real ID or passport, it doesn't sound like it's going to be the big kerfuffle that they're, that it could be. But well, we will see.
You know, we were speculating on a hypothesis a couple of weeks ago in the newsroom about what would be a workaround. And it sounds like that exactly what's going on. Maybe people are going to get a warning or something.
That's what I'm thinking. Again, I know I've said this twice, but I just want to make sure this is not an official TSA statement. This is just something I heard from one of the security guards, one of the security people that are working here. So if you, you know, forget your real ID, you may get lucky tomorrow. I'll put it like that. How's that?
But to your point, you want to try to avoid that. However, curious how long the process will take if it slows down getting through TSA. That's the big question for everybody else that's got their real ID or a passport. They just want to go,
right?
So it'll be interesting. Here's another scenario, guys. Maybe somebody like you, Andy, bless you, who's leaving.
Excuse me.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm good. Sorry.
Somebody like you who's leaving before the deadline kicks in but is coming back after. What if somebody doesn't have real ID today, they get on a plane, and then they remember they're in another city, and that's
Right. Right. And so I don't have my real ID. I have my passport that I carry with me, because that is a valid ID that you can use. That is a real ID. Your passport, your driver's license does need to be a real ID. So I'm using my passport. And then when my license expires next year, I'm going to get my real ID. But until then, I'm using my passport. So I'm prepared. But yeah, like you said, Larry, if you're leaving today and you come back tomorrow, Thursday or Friday, and you don't have, I don't know, because they didn't say anything, but maybe the TSA is giving a warning at security today, like, hey, just a reminder, you're going to need that real ID if you plan on coming back. But like I told you earlier, when I talked to that worker, you know, are they really going to keep somebody from getting home on tomorrow or Thursday?
Well, I guess we're going to find out soon enough. But that said, it does open up the question. There are a lot of people that just want to fly, that got all their stuff together, that may be detained time-wise getting through TSA, or maybe not. We'll see. But
that's a good point, Larry. I just want to mention real quick, because even if people don't have their real ID and are able to fly tomorrow, you don't know what the delay is going to be on them being, you know, warned and what that. So I would definitely get to the airport early still, no matter what.
And that said, also, what about other cities might not be as lenient as one city or another? You know what I mean? If you go to, I don't know, pick a city, Philadelphia, New York. What if?
Yeah, like I'm saying, I wouldn't risk it. I wouldn't risk it. But you know, that was one worker out of the how many thousands of TSA employees that there are. So maybe I just happen to talk to the one in the know, or maybe, you know, who knows.
All right, safe travels, Andrew.
Thanks. I'll talk to you on Friday and let you know how that is going at the airport from Nashville.
All right. Enjoy your country music getaway.
Thank you, sir.
Andy Lindberg, who's our director of digital content.
I really like what he had to say, and from what he's repeating he heard from the TSA worker, that sounds pretty convincing.
It sounds like it makes sense.
It sounds like something that's going to happen.
So. It would be absolute chaos if they don't have an intermediary opportunity. Like, okay.
And it may be the reason behind the 3-hour warning.
Yeah.
You know, get here 3 hours because they may be warning people and going through some paperwork of some kind, perhaps. I don't know.
We'll be on it tomorrow morning on the Big K Morning Show. It's with you wherever you go, AUDACY, and we'll keep you posted on breaking news, weather information like we had a week ago. And every Tuesday, we check in with Lynn Hayes Freeland. She was not with us last week. You missed the big storm here, Lynn. Oh, it was nasty, really nasty. How about 90, 95 mile an hour winds that just decimated trees and roofs and still thousands of people without power a week later?
Yeah, you know what, Larry? I was actually traveling last week, and I was, turns out, there were a lot of people from Pittsburgh on the trip with me. So most of them were constantly calling back. Do we have power yet? What's going on? So I felt like I was able to live through that vicariously. But it is crazy to me that here it is Tuesday again, and there are still people without power. I don't know if you've updated this story or not, but I've been trying to track these senior citizens in the Douglas high-rise building out in Wilkinsburg, because I know that building. I know people who have lived there. And I don't know what you do with senior citizens in a building with no electricity for a week.
Oh, it's been a big deal. Now, if you're one of the people, obviously the vast majority of people now have their power back, but through the course of the week, days and days, and nobody can ever remember this widespread power outage and taken so long to restore it.
No, I was trying to rack my brain. I remember there was, I think it was like a tornado that came through Mount Washington.
You know when that was, Lynn? June 1998. I was on the air and we went live commercial free from 5:30 p.m. to 11:30 that night.
Mm.
And that was obviously a long time ago.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, it's funny, but I remember it like it was yesterday, Larry, because not only was I working in news at that point, but our power went out in my parents' home. And my mother was bedridden at the time. She was dependent on oxygen. She had a feeding tube. And we were literally panicking. Fortunately, our next door neighbor had a generator and so was able to take care of my mother's needs. But ever since that time, I've always in my head said, I'm going to get me a generator. Still haven't done it, but because it doesn't happen that often. But when it does happen, you need it.
Well, I joked, I have a neighbor now, too, that have those generators that power the whole house in seconds after the electricity goes out, and the street's dark except for his house looks like the Gateway Clipper fleet ready to launch. You know, I mean, every light is on. And then you're right, it's not cheap. However, if you have it, it's great, but it's inexpensive, or it's too expensive for most people, and then it doesn't happen all that often, or does it?
Yeah, it doesn't seem to. Now, funny you mention that, because I have these light bulbs that have batteries in the socket part, the part you screw into the lamp, and so they stay charged. You use them like regular light bulbs, but when the power goes out, you still have lights. That's a big help, but it doesn't, you know, deal with things like your refrigerator or other needs. So there have been times that my house has looked like a Christmas tree, but not because of a generator, because of these lights with the batteries.
All right, outside of the storm, which was obviously a huge deal here, still is, cleanup continues. What else is on your radar in the news world?
What in the world is happening over at the ballpark? What's going on over there? It just, you know, you kind of hear these stories, and I'm not saying this to come down on the Steelers, but a lot of times you hear fights at Steeler games. You know, there was at one time alcohol was a big contributor to that. It's kind of calmed down now. But I look at two incidents in a short period of time at the ball at PNC Park, and it makes me concerned about behavior over there.
You know, overall, for the first time in 25 years, if you're referring to the fan who fell, by the way, he took steps apparently yesterday.
I heard that today, which is awesome news.
His name is Kevin Markwood, a South Allegheny graduate who's played college football, and happy to hear he's making a recovery when it didn't look good for a while. And then Sunday after the game at that incident, that the video's gone viral, but those are really, really isolated. And I've been over there many times. You know, they're pretty tame, especially the baseball games.
Well, I would think so. But here's what happens, Larry, and you know this as well as I do. Something goes viral, people start talking about it, and then, you know, it's like that old game of telephone when you would whisper something to the person next to you and they whisper it on, you know. By the time this thing goes full circle, it's going to be, oh, my goodness, they're spitting at people at PNC Park. Now, granted, that's not the norm. That's not what happens. But, you know, that's the way those stories just, they get legs of their own.
Yeah, they do. And then you have, you know, the comments or the comment pages. If you go down that rabbit hole, it gets, can get pretty dark. All right.
I'm not going to do it, Larry. I'm not going to look at the comment pages. In fact, I'm at a point now where I think and I know we are the media, but I think the media sometimes should have stories that do not allow for comment, because you know there's nothing good that's going to come from the comments on there.
Lynn, as you know, if you say it's sunny out, somebody's hacked off. So you just go with it. So think about it. What's on the radar otherwise with Lynn Hayes Freeland coming up on the Big K Morning Show? It's 9:25 from the PJ Fitzpatrick. Yeah, Colin's going to be down on the North Shore. That's Thursday already. The first big show at Acrisure for the season. AC/DC, they were in New England last night where the Patriots play. Apparently it was a great show. And every Tuesday we check in with Lynn Hayes Freeland. Our conversation continues. Lynn, what on the news radar screen jumps off the page?
Well, I'm curious what's happening with the mayoral race. I know you're doing a big show. Is it Thursday, the 8th?
Thursday, 2 days from now. Actually, 48 hours from now at 9:30, we have incumbent Mayor Ed Gainey and the Democratic challenger, who's the Allegheny County Controller, Corey O'Connor. And we'll have Lenny McAllister, myself, in studio to ask the questions for a full hour.
So what's the priority these days? It seems to me like there was a lot of conversation early on about affordable housing, and I know there's a need, I respect that, but I also wonder, I mean, here we are getting ready for school to be out for the summer, kids are free. Has the city, or have we resolved issues like the water, not working water fountains and staffing city pools for the kids?
That's a good question. I'll add it to the list. One of the questions is going to be about finance. An interesting dynamic here. So Corey O'Connor's job now, after 13 years, I believe, on city council, the last 3 years he's been the controller who monitors the money. It's an oversight position that's an elected position, and so he knows a lot about where the money is. Particularly right now, obviously, with the county. What about the city? Ed Gainey says, hey, we got a $4 million surplus. Job creation is up 19%. And then both have to answer the question about nonprofits participation, which has been up in the air. Crime downtown. Homicide rates are down. Do people feel safe going down to the city? Affordable housing is another one. So there's plenty to talk about.
There's plenty to talk about. And, you know, I was in Pittsburgh, I guess it was 2 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, and I had the opportunity to walk around downtown, which I will be full transparency. Most of the time I come into the city, I'm riding through downtown at best. But I walked around through downtown the last time I was there, and I really had to backtrack on some of the things that I thought and felt, because I had been a big defender on, hey, there's nothing wrong with downtown. It's fine. It's great. I'll go anywhere. There was a different feel in downtown when I was there, and it was concerning to me. But I feel like the responsibility for what's happening downtown is a shared one. Yes, I believe the mayor has a responsibility there. Yes, I believe police have a responsibility there. But I also believe that our business owners have a responsibility there too. And I think if we could get all of them to work collectively and stop blaming and pointing fingers, we could make downtown a better place, because it does need to be improved, Larry. I actually had to eat some of my words on that after walking through downtown a couple weeks ago.
And this isn't a problem that's just Pittsburgh's.
Oh, no.
There have been declines across the country, especially after COVID. And, you know, it was a ghost town for a long time. Some life is emerging, but not all of it great.
Well, it isn't. And you're absolutely right. I mean, even when I'm in town here in Atlanta, there are a lot of places that I'm not going to walk. I mean, in downtown, because I don't feel safe. And, you know, maybe if I knew the city better, I would feel differently. But I think that we have to figure out what life after COVID really is. I mean, we kind of saw the COVID, we saw the pandemic, we saw the businesses closed. So now where are we? It's not going to look like it did before COVID and the pandemic. So what is it going to look like, and how do we make it work?
That's a great question. And we're going to get some answers now, hopefully on Thursday, 9:30. Make sure you tune in for the mayoral debate for the Democratic primary. What else is on your radar?
I'll be listening for sure. I'm looking forward to it. You know, I'm a closet politico whatever.
Email some questions too, because we're putting those together and we're going to prioritize them. And we want to get as much information and answers from the candidates as possible.
Oh, you don't have to tell me twice now. Do I email you now?
Yes.
Or till,
email me whenever you want.
Okay. All right.
We'll add them to the list. Anything else on your radar?
You know what? That's about it. I just think I'm looking forward to, that's probably not true. I want to circle back when you were talking about the storms coming through Pittsburgh, and we're seeing those storms pop up in a lot of places. At some point, we've got to have some real conversation about climate change and what it means. You know, we're just like, oh yeah, it's going to be hot, it's going to be storm. Oh, we never had that before. But we got to dig in there and have some real conversations about what is going on with the weather. And how do we address it? How do we fix it? How do we prepare for it? Because I do think we're getting caught off guard a lot with our weather.
You people can argue about politics about the weather, but the weather is the weather. I mean, whatever's happening, that's what it is. And the truth is, we've seen some most unusual weather events in this city just alone. Forget about everybody else on the planet. Just in Pittsburgh, we've had these super mild winters. This winter, temperature-wise, was as cold as it's been in a decade, but we didn't get all that much snow.
Didn't get much snow. And you know what? And you know, I've had this conversation with you. I was a victim of a flood back in, September? Whatever those situations, whether it's a flood, whether it's a tree on your car, or a week without power, those things are traumatic. You don't just get through them and a week later everything is fine. I still, every time there's a big storm coming, no, doesn't matter where I am, I'm in Atlanta or someplace else, big storm coming, I get a certain amount of anxiety because I know what it can do.
It's done that to a lot of people recently, Lynn, you're right. Well, here we go. 48 hours, we'll be in the midst of our Democratic primary mayoral debate. Lynn will be tuned in. We hope you will be too. And Lynn, we'll talk next Tuesday.
Hold on, before you go, is that at what hour is that in on Thursday?
9:30, 48 hours from now, a.m.
All right, okay.
And happy Mother's Day.
Well, thank you so much. I wanted to get into that too, but we don't have time, so it's fine. I'll be there. I'll be listening Thursday.
Give me your Mother's Day. What do you want to say?
No. I was just going to ask you, what do you do for your wife on Mother's Day?
It's not my mother. All right,
see,
Lynn.
That's what
I'm kidding. That's a joke.
Okay, we're going to leave that right there, Larry.
We'll end it there. Thanks, Lynn.
All right, talk to you soon.
Bye. Lynn Hayes-Breeland, and we're going to check in with Marty Griffin coming up.